All right. So I wanted to share about why we practice. I mean, it's a beautiful Sunday. And it's really it's a beautiful day. It's not too hot, right? Like last week. I think the high is like 80 in Baltimore today, or projected something like that. So it's really a nice day. It's a day to be out in the sun, and here we are, sitting on Zoom. So there must be something about this. We could be doing so many other things, sleeping, right? And clearly there's something in it why we're here, why we take time. And so for some of you who've been attending Sangha for some years now, we always come back to why are we practicing, you know? Why are we doing this? And one of the reasons that we practice is we believe in our liberation, right? We believe in our individual and collective liberation. There's a part of us that believes that through our collective individual healing, we'll participate in a collective healing. And then there's also a part of us that believes that there's something about this meditation, this mindfulness, this slowing down, pausing, and breathing that is part of this path of freedom. And what I'd like to add to that, and maybe some of you already believe this, is that each one of us is preparing a place for each other, and certainly for our descendants and for our ancestors. So what comes to mind is Harriet Tubman, or who comes to mind, but you know, Harriet Tubman is more than a person. Harriet Tubman is a phenomena, is a part of our history that everyone should know about. It was an enslaved African American woman who walked to her freedom, and then who said, or in some format like this, I go to prepare a place for you, right? And went back and forth, I don't know, 15 times more, by herself. There were a couple of times when she was a scout for others, but the majority of the time, this was this one woman going back and forth to free family members, non-family members. And so I really want to play on this, or riff off this, I go to prepare a place for you. Because when we refer to Harriet Tubman, it's kind of really clear, right? Like she escaped slave enslavement so she could prepare a path to bring others forward. And we get this really clear idea of what freedom is, right? In this context, freedom from enslavement, right? Very clear, very kind of lucid. And then I want to just, and this is not trying to measure anyone to Harriet Tubman, because I wouldn't dare to do that. I just want us to really dig deep and think about what that phrase means in practice. So Harriet Tubman was clearly a bodhisattva, someone who had the heart of compassion, who knew that her freedom was connected to the collective. She left so she can bring others. I mean, if that's not what collective freedom means, I really don't know what else, how we could really find any other example, or others are clearly there. But I want, and I want us to think about it in the more mundane, everyday things of life. So, and that's where it comes back to each one of us as our practice, as a preparation for others to come and take up that same space that we are developing for others. That we always think of our practice as this individual path to freedom, and that that path is not an individual matter, but that we always will think about how we are shepherding this path for others after we find that freedom for ourselves. Okay. And that's really what this is about. And it's very mundane, right? So I was thinking this morning, I was like, okay, so how do we really understand this path in the everyday world? And so the first thing that came to mind was our practice, right? It's like, I'm practicing for my liberation. And just like I said, when I'm remembering practice and someone sees me who wants to practice and they've forgotten, I'm reminding them, you know, I'm remembering them. And when I'm forgetting practice, and the very specific example of in a community of practitioners where we all get forgetful, doesn't matter, seeing others practicing, preparing that place so that I can step into it, because that's what that is. It's someone steps into the practice. And so now we can step into the practice because we see it. And so this, so it's a very connected way of thinking about practice that removes the separation that I am always only practicing for my liberation. Because immediately once we start to practice, we take up the understanding that my practice is benefiting others simply by being in practice. So it's as direct as that. And it's also very indirect, right? So Thich Nhat Hanh said that I had to write this down because I knew I'd forget it, as I have. Right. Everything we do and say bears our signature. So think about that. And it's not just what we do outwardly that someone can see, what we say, right? But also what we think. All the things that we think, doesn't impact others. It leads to the way we act and what we say. And so everything we think, we say, and the actions that we do, it leaves a mark, right? And so what is that mark that we're going to leave? What are we preparing? We're going to prepare a delicious space for someone to be in, a delicious meal. Hope no one's on a fast right now, but what are we preparing? Are we preparing something that's beautiful, or are we preparing something that is not so beautiful, that's not so reflective of these ideals of helping each other find the most true selves that we are, the most beautiful selves that we are? So this understanding that when we're no longer here in this physical form, that it's done, it's not true, because we've laid down a path with the words that we use, with our actions, and others have taken it up knowingly and unknowingly. It's just the nature of how we see each other and we bounce off each other and the collective consciousness, people we're around, you know, how you're around some people. When you're around someone a lot, after a while, you almost start having some words like them. You ever notice that? You start using some of their words, the inflection of your words, you start using that. And so we all do it. We pick up our environment, which is why what we think and say and do is so critical. because it continues to have an effect. So this understanding of the only thing that we leave in the world is the way we were in the world. It's basically what we've prepared for those who are around us and those who will follow us. And so it may not seem as big or significant as a Harriet Tubman, who, very specific, you can see what she did, what she prepared. And yet in our daily small acts in everyday life, we are part of that continuation. What are we preparing? What kind of place are we preparing for those who are around us, for those who are coming after us, for the ancestors in us? What are we preparing? Are we here to minimize the suffering of the world, to bring true friendship into the world, into the cosmos? How are we going to leave this world? You know, when people say, oh, I want to leave the world a better place, well, it's really nice words. And how is it that we're acting, speaking, thinking now in this moment that's already continuing us, preparing the way for those who are already here with us, and for those who will come after us? So it's not a, I'm going to build all this up, and then when I leave, there's this little bag of things that I leave. It's this everyday thing. The way we engage with people in the store, even on that day when we're so busy, we don't have time to notice our steps and our breath. When we're short with the cashier, because we've had a rough day, what is it that helps us to stop and breathe and think, wow, I've just had a really rough conversation that's really got me an edge. Right now, maybe I shouldn't be talking to anyone, because the only thing that's coming out of me right now is that I'm still in that energy, that interaction. And that's what mindfulness is, right? Mindfulness is this continued awareness of what just happened. Was that okay? Is that something I want to continue? Or was that something I need to not do again? This continued, it's always mindfulness of something, right? And so it's this mindfulness of thought, of speech, and of action that allows us to notice, what are we preparing? And so when we notice, when we take that breath and we pause and we notice what's in this body and mind right now, and when we, and it may be, oh, okay, I'm in a good space, okay, or I'm in a neutral space, because that's what you're going to leave with the person who you engage with, whether on the phone, whether in person, even with the earth, right? Even with the flower that you walk by, when the mind is so full, it doesn't even notice the flower. While the flower is waiting for your attention, the flower is waiting for you to notice it, because it's noticing you. It's there for you. It blooms so that you can enjoy its beauty. And yet, most of the time, because our mind's so full, we don't notice. And so how is it that we show up and stay aware of everything that's going on? And it's not just the flower, it's also the difficulty around us, right? Like when we're meeting something that is triggering, can we notice that, well, this is really activated me right now. I need to like really take care of this, right? That's the compassion for herself. I don't need right now to be with folk. I need to right now take a step, go sit in a corner, maybe it's a toilet, whatever it is. It's not always a cushion or a nice, you know, space with a flower and a candle. The meditation space is wherever it is that you can come back to yourself. That is your meditation room. And so for us, sometimes that's the toilet at the workplace, that's the toilet at the supermarket, right? Where you go and sit and you take a breath or two or three, and you're like, wow, I'm really activated right here. Notice, breathe with it. Doesn't mean it's gone away. Doesn't mean the activation stopped, but there's an awareness, there's a noticing. And just that noticing shifts the energy from one of not knowing to one of knowing. And that shift is what allows us to take back our full freedom. Our control is back. We're not being pulled around by that emotional hurt, that trauma, because that's what happens when we don't notice. Someone says something, it activates stuff in us. We're unaware of it. We dive deep in, emotion head first, and we get pulled by that. And it sometimes maybe 10% is what was said, and the rest is really stuff that's from some old hurt that we haven't healed yet. And so this mindfulness of noticing is like, wow, I'm activated right now. Oof. Let me go sit in this corner. Excuse me, I need to go for a little walk right now. And we mindfully step and breathe, maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is. And we notice. And it doesn't mean we're repressing. It doesn't mean we're not engaging. It means that we're taking sovereignty over this mind and body, and we're not letting emotion rule us. We're not allowing one emotion, pain, one emotion, anger, one emotion, grief, one emotion, rage, one emotion, sadness, take us over. We're recognizing all the other parts of us that are there when we become aware again. Because that noticing is inviting in the other awareness that's also there, the other, what we call the mental formations that are there, you know? There's patience, there's clarity, there's mindfulness. I'm aware of this. There's calm. And that noticing allows us to make a more clear-headed decision. I can't engage right now. Let me step away. Or, okay, I really need to engage with this, and this is how I'm going to do it. So it comes from a clear space. And the engagement may look the same before the pause, and yet what's under it is different. Because now you're aware of what you're going to say. Now you're aware of why you're feeling the way you are feeling. So even though the response may be the same words, it's coming from a ground of knowing. And that is what liberation is. It's moving from a place of ignorance, being controlled by one emotion, to a place of knowing and allowing the other parts of who we are as full human beings to be present with what is there in the moment. That's our liberation, when we no longer let one thing control what we say, what we think, and what we do. Right. So this is how we prepare. This is how we prepare for ourselves. This is how we create this space, that we cultivate this space that allows us to be free. And in so doing, we're also preparing for others, because they see what we're doing. Because people notice when we don't react. We're so used to this reactivity. I mean, look at what is going on in the world right now. Our practice is so critical, right? You know, people keep saying, what are we going to do about what's going on? What are we going to do? Well, the first thing we need to do is breathe. Because if we're not in control of this own body and mind, how can we ever think we can offer anything else out? It's just not possible. We're just going to offer out the same, that of maybe not in the extreme as we're seeing, but we're taking all this stuff in. It's having an effect on our collective. This collective consciousness is having an effect on us. We're not separate from society. It's the energy, it's in us. And so much more important right now it is for us to pause and notice, am I reacting? Am I responding or am I reacting? Am I reacting to the things that are in me from the last shooting, from the last whatever, from the last law that's oppressing people, right? The last Supreme Court decision, what am I reacting to that? Because that is still in me? Or am I able to pause, notice what is happening here, presence, right? I'm in presence. And now I'm going to respond in a way that has that presence, the full embodiment of the moment. And in that way, we start to shift this energy that is so, it's manifesting everywhere, right? People are losing it left and right. We are in a place of deep chaos because we're reacting to everything that's happening. There's so much that has happened in the last few years. We have a society that is not, some are ready for racial awakening and reckoning, queer awakening and reckoning, immigrant awakening and reckoning, gender awakening, some, and then there's a whole lot that aren't, right? And so we're at these edges, right, in society when the social fabric wants to change, right? And there's still an impasse where whatever is current wants to stay the same. And in these moments of these kinds of chaos, these are the moments where we need to be really, really grounded and really, really clear. Where are we coming from? Are we coming from a reaction to all the things that are going on? Are we coming from a place of groundedness, of solidity, of ancestors, of history, and of freedom? Meaning freedom to see exactly what is present in front of me and not what the collective consciousness has been streaming through me. And this is where our breath comes in. This ability, this simple thing, three steps, three breaths. If you're a person who needs to move, you walk it out, right? One breath, one step. One, just like we did today. That's why we do these very short walking, is to remind us what comes from just 4 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute of mindful walking and breathing. There's a shift that happens. Three breaths in and out in awareness, five breaths, because everything changes, just that movement of breath and step has changed that moment that was before the breath and step, you see? And so that movement that comes from breath and step has brought a different way of being already, just like that. And in that shift, we see more clearly. And that's when we take back our control. We're not being controlled by the emotion, that one emotion. We now can pull from this beautiful repertoire that we have, our true selves, all these amazing formations, mental formations that's in us. We have them all. We have courage, we have power, we have love, we have compassion, we have groundedness, we have connection, we have strength. And yet in that moment of anger, isn't it amazing how we lose it all? And we become these people that after we say the things we've said in anger, we sit there and we're like, I can't believe I said that. Oh my God, right? But that's part of who we are too. And so the breath, what does the breath allow us, or the step in mindfulness allows us? It allows us to see what's manifesting now up into the consciousness and allow us to decide what else needs to come up from that stored consciousness. wow, I need to bring up my pause here. Wow, I need to bring up my looking deeply right now. Wow, I need to bring up my just noticing what this anger really is. And so as we bring courage up, as we bring non-fear up to take care of the fear, now we are more fully embodied with the other parts of who we really are. Because we're never just our anger. It's just that in that moment, anger gets so big that it seems like it's taken over our whole mind and body. It's like we're one big anger energy. It's like just, you know, write anger on my head, say my name's anger, or my name's fear, or my name's anxiety. And yet we're just not that. We're not just that. And so we breathe and we acknowledge, I'm really angry right now. Oof, breathing in my anger, breathing out my care for my anger. And three breaths like that shifts us from just anger, and now we've brought in care for anger. So there's now another mental formation that's come into being. And then from there, we start to bring forward the other parts of who we really are. And then we have this whole, now we really like the whole gang's there. And now we get to decide, okay, who's gonna take front and center right now? And so this is how we continue to practice. This is really why we're here on this earth, right? And we're here to figure out who we really are. We're here to discover our most true self, the self that has been piled up high generationally, and also in this lifetime, all the things we've met, whether it be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. We're here to discover under all that, and in light of all that, like, what is the most true self of this being? Can I find that self of calm, of generosity, of compassion? Can I bring that forth? What do I need to do to water to bring that up, so that when the difficulties come up, I can take what's taking care of it is that true self. It's not the self that's tired and fatigued and a reflection of all the difficulty that I've faced or my ancestors have faced. Because we're that and we're more. And this is what this path is about, is learning all of who we are, not just what might manifest a lot. And that aspect, those aspects of us might manifest a lot just because of the life that we live, right? In difficult lives, difficult things keep getting watered. In lives that are not so difficult, not as much gets watered. Right? So marginalized people, folks of color, a lot of difficulty has been watered just from facing all these things, right? Racism is not a, you know, it's a thing, right? And so we have to take good care of that. We have to take care of all the pain and the hurt that social injustice has manifested in this mind and body, not just ours, but our generational trauma that we're still healing. And so we need to breathe, right? We need to take good care. We need to find that truest self that sometimes has become covered up by the hurt, the scars. Because that's there. That's our most true selves. And so this preparation, right, this continued practice, this is why we're here, is to find that self, reveal it, and not so much the world, reveal it to our own selves, because we are the first ones who need to believe that that's who we really are. Because we unfortunately are the first ones to believe all the social lies, the societal dogmas, the government and power elite that have said, this is who you are, people. And so we need to rediscover for our own selves, our most true selves. And then the process of revealing that, the breath, the noticing, the acknowledging I'm more than just my anger. I'm no more than just my fear. I'm more than just my hatred. I'm all this. And I can understand why anger manifests when this is said. I can understand why I go to this extreme emotion because of my history. And I can find out how to find the medicine, if you will, that begins to heal that. And in so doing, we prepare, right? We prepare for ourselves, we prepare for others. Because we all have big purpose here on this earth. Each one of us. We're not in the human form for no reason. Being born a human is actually, it's a thing, right? It's not just, we could have been born, if we believe in the Buddhist cosmology, being born in one of the higher realms, that's as a human being, human form. And so we have purpose. We came back in this form to continue to transform these things so that we can continue to be and reveal that purpose. And that purpose is this creation of this place of spaciousness that we keep living into. We keep growing more beautiful, this garden. Even while we notice the weeds and the burrs and all the stuff that's there, what are we going to cultivate? And that's what this practice does, right? It gives us the spaciousness to notice. We see who we are. We gain insight. We discern from that. And in knowing ourselves, we get to know every single other person. It's real simple. It's simple. It's a simple process, but it's very difficult because there's so much in the mind already that wants to convince us that, well, that we're stuck. This is it. Society's like this. We're like this. And yet there's so much more. So the invitation during these difficult times is to remember why we're here, to be grateful, to be in a form that we can continue to develop this heart and this mind to reveal its most true self that will actually impact this world. And we're here during these times for reasons. There's cause and effect. Each one of us are here during this period of chaos because we have something to contribute to shifting it. If not, why are we here? We're not here by chance, right? And so we practice to reveal that self that becomes in this world what is needed most right now. So don't take it as a big responsibility. Maybe a big responsibility, not big. There's a distinction there. And we enjoy it. We find joy in it. We laugh and we find joy in it as well. So I'd like to close there. I'll invite a bell for us to just breathe together. Let it all settle in. Let it all fall away.